We find ourselves perched in between seasons, Epiphany, Christmas Epiphany, between years, and I find that the comment in the gospel reading of Mary and Joseph, Jesus, their visit to Jerusalem, and having accomplished everything that the law of the Lord required to them, now they returned to Galilee. And I thought just our place in life in terms of that the holidays kind of coming to a conclusion just about, and so on, that the return to Galilee seemed fitting for us to reflect on things past, the moment present, and also to look forward into the future of the year, the season to come. And so with that, we notice right off that with Mary and Joseph accomplishing for Jesus everything that was required of them by the law, this kind of hearkening or looking back into the Old Testament moment, essentially the Exodus, as we have the reading there, the reminder that at the conclusion of the plagues, the tenth plague was the plague of death that God visited upon all of Egypt, the firstborn people and animals, and the birth of those people, those lives, I believe, look forward, a kind of a preview, in a way, the anticipation of God Himself identifying with humanity and sending Jesus as His Son to be the redemption, the propitiation, the price for the sins of all of mankind. So some look at moments like this in Scripture and have this sense of God is such a harsh God. He is such a vindictive, you know, judging kind of God. And we forget a couple of things. One of those is that we live by the mercy of God. The introduction to life that we find in the book of Genesis is that as you sin, you will surely die. And we recall that Adam and Eve sinned and yet lived, you know, beyond the moment or the time of their sin. That is to say that God is merciful and His nature is kind of played out there in their lives, but also our own. That our sin, large or small in our eyes, certainly is all to the cross of our Savior, and we are worthy of death for that. And so life, as we live it, is all an expression of the mercy of God. So us, also then the Egyptians, and the occasions, the opportunity to repent and to acknowledge Yahweh, the God of Israel, as the supreme God in the moment in which all the plagues began and concluded with Moses, either raising his staff or Moses praying to God, the plague begins. Moses praying to God at Pharaoh's bequest, and the plague ending, and so on. And thus the text refers to this battle between the gods of Pharaoh, the gods of Egypt, and the God of Moses. And the victor is clearly the God of Moses. So as the years then unfolded, Israel is forever to cherish and to hold this memory in their lives, not collectively in kind of a, you know, July 4th kind of way, but individually, very personally, in the sense that their firstborn would be taken to the temple and this rite of redemption would take place. Essentially, declaring faith. Here's how I would put that. I believe that I have no good at all in life unless it comes from the hand of God. I believe that I'm not able to embellish my own life, but for the hand of God upon me. And so as we begin into a new year, a looking back opportunity kind of moment, a looking back at the year past, and an opportunity to count our blessings and to say, look at how God has been with me. Look at how he has withheld his left hand, his hand of judgment upon my life and spared me. But instead, his right hand of love and grace and protection have been there time after time. His providence, his protection, his leading, his guiding, his word, his wisdom. And with that then, in looking back and seeing the past, immediate and long past, firmly grounded on the foundation of God and his presence and his works, we find ourselves ready, steady in the present. This God who has been is our Lord, our Savior today. And so here we stand. And it's in that moment, I believe, that Paul writes to the Colossians and says, let these kind of things be your nature. Compassion, humility, gentleness, mercy, and so on, as the list goes on. He says, in light of what God has done, in part, you know, jumping ahead in time and all of this, but the sense that the Prince of Peace has come for you. Let that peace rule your lives. You know, rule, be authoritative in your life. And that requires then a certain putting aside of self to say, no, this point I would like to challenge, you know, kind of like the coach on the sidelines, blustering and carrying on. God is our referee. As such, I rest myself in peace in the moments where I might challenge or wonder, is this really my good here in this situation? This doesn't seem fair or right to me, but no. God, Jesus, is my Lord. I thus am at peace. I go back to Mary's words, let it be to me as you've said. And in that sense then too, peace, ruling, but love also, holding the bond of unity that we feel and know as family, as the family of God, and so on. That's the present. considering all that Mary and Joseph have experienced as, you know, we walk through the season and kind of reviewed and visited all of the angel visits to them, you know, up to this point, it's interesting that the story changes in the sense of who the messenger of God is. So Gabriel coming, you know, repeatedly, the angel to the shepherd didn't get a name, but, you know, the heavenly hosts all around them and so on. But clearly, you know, very strong messengers of God, angelic presence, and God crossing this barrier, this boundary between, you know, humanity and glory and humility and glory and all of this. But now the shift, that Simeon is moved by the Holy Spirit. He is there in the temple, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, but then is moved by the Holy Spirit. And so here's the transition from angelic messengers to this moment of the Spirit of God beginning to engage, his people, and to lead and to guide them. And I don't know about you, but I look at that moment with a sense of hope. that as I look at my life, I trust that I can rest myself on the foundation of God and his works and his nature and his character, but beyond that to say, I too can anticipate the Spirit of the living God moving me, directing, guiding me in life, and that's hopeful because that is God's promise for us. They have accomplished all of this. That's where I was going. The sense that for Mary and Joseph, the wonder, the mystery of all that they have experienced in these angelic and now becoming prophetic moments, just a whole wealth of information and experience to treasure and to kind of process. I'm sure we all do that at times. You know, come to moments and say, wow, I've got so much to think through. I've got so much to think over. You know, maybe it's this last year. Maybe it's where you're at. And maybe it's what you anticipate in the year to come. After all, Simeon's words to Mary, they're rather sobering. This child will cause the rise and fall of many. He will reveal the thoughts of many. We see in the gospel account, that's the case. But then to Mary, and a sword shall pierce your own soul, or a spear shall pierce your own soul too. Whoa. Essentially saying, Mary, in the midst of all this, glory that you have witnessed, this angelic encounter, earth is also going to rise up and impact your very life. How do you go forward with a message like that? Indeed, hearing all the prophecies about Jesus in the giving of his name, you'll call him Jesus. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And all of this, how do you live out the days in the sense of, well, when am I going to see this? How am I going to experience or realize this? This moment of this gift of this special child of God to us. How is this going to unfold? For us looking back, it may seem rather simple. We know the story as it unfolds. For Mary and Joseph, this is completely a walk of faith. Let it be to me as you have said. The refrain is kind of over and over in their lives. So these are the kind of thoughts I imagine as they return to Galilee. I'm thinking, return to normal. You know, the schedule. Back to work. Back to life in our homes, family, children, relatives, what have you. Everybody going back to Galilee, back to their homes. And us stepping into a new year with the foundation of God's historic work. But notice what Mary and Joseph and the people of Israel are commanded to do. They are commanded to consecrate themselves to God. That is, to kind of give themselves to God. A way of saying, my life is set apart for God. I am committed. I am dedicated to this king and to this coming kingdom. And so as God reveals himself in time, makes himself known in the present, the people of God then find themselves in a place to say, now, looking, considering the nature and the wonders of this God. I commit myself to this. I consecrate. I set myself aside because God has clearly chosen us in some unique and particular way. In all likelihood, not quite as grand as the moment for Mary and Joseph, but ultimately, in some sense, no less significant. For you and I are no less than the temple of the Spirit of the living God. Step into the future then, resting in the past. The peace of Jesus filling your hearts. The love of God carrying through life and family and community together. And whatever the year to come actually holds, know this. The end result is bound to be the grace, the glory, the love of God coming to, working in, flowing through us to others. Because Jesus came in humility, Jesus came in weakness, Jesus came in obscurity. And that's very easy for me to say then, Jesus has come to me. Step forward into the year ahead with the grace and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.